In our liturgy in the church, officially we celebrate on January 1st, the Mass that we are celebrating, the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. That's officially the solemnity that we celebrate. But it is a day that is so full of meaning for many, many reasons. Many years ago, until perhaps the mid-60s, the feast was the eighth day after Christmas. It was called the Feast of the Holy Name, the Holy Name of Jesus. It was a great devotion in the church. Many groups were named after, many parishes were the parish of the Holy Name of Jesus. And it was given that name for the feast because, as we heard, 8 days after his birth, they, as was the custom for any Jewish boy, Jesus was circumcised, and then a name was given. Of course, his name was given was Jesus, as the angel, when he appeared to Mary and in a dream to Joseph, as they had told that the boy would be called Jesus. That's what happened 8 days. But it's not only just remembering that situation or that occasion in Jesus' life. What is important when we talk about the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus is a feast when we remember that the proclaiming that name, in the scriptures, as perhaps for many people in life, but especially in the scriptures, a name has a lot of meaning. So much so that we find in scriptures a few different occasions when there is a name, a person has a given name, and once he met God or had an experience of God in his or her life, the name changes. It was that way with Abraham. His name was Abram, and then became Abraham. Paul, his name was Saul, and after his name became Paul. As an idea said, well, once they met God, a new identity, a new life. And so the name of the person has its meaning. So when we say that we profess the name of Jesus, we say that we profess our faith in the person of Jesus. In the person of Jesus. Today's celebration also as we remember Mary, the Mother of God, it was about, as I said, the mid-60s, that officially the Church instituted this feast of celebrating every January 1st, the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. The title Mother of God comes from the very, very beginnings of the Church, the very beginnings. It was a tradition from the early communities to give very special attention to Mary, the Mother of Jesus. And as she was the one who, through the Holy Spirit, brought us the Savior, the Son of God, she became to be called and to be known, in Greek they would say the Theotokos, or the Mother of God. So the celebration is our way of understanding that Mary, though still a young woman at the time when Angel Gabriel came to visit her, she did say yes to God. I believe she could not understand everything at that moment, yet she trusted the Lord. And it was through that trust in God that she could say, yes, I am servant of the Lord, be done to me according to God's will. I really believe that was some 33 years later, at the foot of the cross, that she could understand when Jesus died for our sins, that she could understand more clearly what that yes meant. Until then, perhaps she was still trying to understand. That's my own idea how it was not in the scripture, but the way we can say it. Because it was a yes that at the moment you could say, how beautiful, when you're going to have a child, and the child will be called the Son, you know, the Almighty God, so beautiful. But beyond that, there would be all the time. And Jesus, when once he started preaching, how his word would not be understood and would not be accepted by everyone. Yet she is the example for each one of us, for the whole disciples, all those who followed Jesus at that time, and for us today. The first one who believed, the first one who said yes. And that's why we dedicate such an important feast for her. Being today the last day of the year, and tomorrow, you know, many people say, well, it's a day of also looking back and reevaluating the year that is gone, almost gone, basically. So it's a time to recollect all the good memories. It's a time of saying thanks to God for the life that we lead. It is a time of, and many people say, I want to forget many things that happened. Well, we know that we cannot forget. I remember talking about forgetting an archbishop. He's still alive, but he's retired. Was that they call, sometimes they don't call a bishop or archbishop when he tries, they don't call his retired. He's emeritus, which means he's retired. But, you know, and I was talking to him because I served in the diocese where he served before, in the diocese, archdiocese of Miami. I was there for quite a few years. And he's retired a few years, and he would say, Archbishop Favalora, and he would say, talking to him, he said, well, you know, I'm starting to forget things. You know, I think that comes with age. And then he stopped and said, but that's sometimes good. There are many things in life that we should forget. So, you know, that helps in that sense as well. You know, some of the things that should be forgotten in life. But many other things we cannot forget. But it is a day of reevaluating, and many people start, you know, looking ahead, and, you know, start new years with new resolutions, you know. I believe we should have the goals in life. And we should pursue that and continue that. And it is a time to be strong. You know, many people, perhaps those who keep diaries, they will look back and remember the goals of last year. You can see how long did it last. How many times went to the gym, or whatever they gave up, or whatever they you know, wanted to change. More than expecting, you know, that something will change, we have to become that change. We have to make decisions. We have to make options in life. And that will be done as we guide, and which guidance, which goal we give to our lives. Another thing, you see, there are so many things that we have to celebrate, is that the January 1st and tomorrow will be the 50th year. 50 years that the Pope gives a statement asking for prayer, making the first day of the year a day of prayer for peace. And for many people, that has become a day to remember peace. Why? You know, more than ever, we need peace. This year that we are ending has been a year of so much division inside the country, outside of the country, in our world. So much, you know, short tempers and lack of patience. So many times that people took to be kind of judgmental towards other people. So we do need peace. Not, you know, to be confounded with only not having a war. Sometimes we think, oh, we are at peace because we have no war. Peace is more than that. At least the peace that we believe that Jesus brings us. Peace is more than that. So as we concluded this year, you know, reevaluating our lives and thanking the Lord to give always a new opportunity, it is a moment to also to pray for peace. Now we hear today's readings, they all talk about blessings. The book of Numbers talking the blessing of Moses to bless the people, knowing that we are blessed and we walk with God's blessings. Second reading talking the blessings that we receive when, you know, the Savior at the fullness of time came to visit us in Jesus. And how the shepherds, the workers of the night, not working during the night, how they came to Bethlehem. And it's interesting, we keep on every other sentence almost you find the word, and they all were amazed. Of course they would be amazed. This was not something that happened every day. It was an extraordinary thing, the birth of a Savior. And they went there, and they said what the angel had told them, and they went away glorifying God. I believe that's the challenge that we also have. To come and then to have this encounter with the Lord and then go away glorifying God and giving witness of that. And believe that peace is possible. In the message that Pope Francis gave this year for the day, World Day of Prayer for Peace, he mentions about the commitment that we must have, the church as a whole, and each one of us, the commitment to build peace through active and creative nonviolence. I find, you know, Pope Francis choose words, and active and creative nonviolence. You know, sometimes we are always the same. Same way, no, he's asking, be creative. And every little response, every little action towards peace counts. It's not talking only of the big treaties that nations will do. He's not talking only about that. He's talking about every commitment of every person. He says that every response, however modest, helps to build a world free of violence. And this is the first step towards justice and peace. It was Pope Paul VI, still back in the 60s, he would say, there can't be any peace if there is no justice in the world. And he said also, and he mentions in this message from Francis, a reflection also that when he gathered in Assisi, I think back in September, October, August of this year, to pray for peace, he says, all of us want peace. Many people build it day by day through small gestures and acts. Many of them are suffering, yet patiently persevere in their efforts to be peacemakers. May we dedicate ourselves prayerfully and actively to banishing violence from our hearts, words, and deeds. Violence is not only, you know, the machine guns everywhere and the bombs, and no, there could be violence in our hearts, words, and deeds. So let us banish this and commit ourselves to becoming non-violent people and to building non-violent communities that care for our common home. Nothing is impossible if we turn to God in prayer. Everyone can be an artisan of peace. Everyone can build peace. We pray that the Lord will make each one of us instruments of that peace in the world. The example to follow, the Blessed Mother. She kept everything in her heart, and she praised the Lord for all the gifts she had received. May the Lord help us. And that new year that we are about to begin will be full of blessings. The same blessings that we want to receive, and may we share those blessings, especially with the less fortunate. Happy New Year. God bless you with many God's blessings in your life and in your family.